every draft, you just have to have some moment of introspection and think, what did I just do with the last 4 months of my life?
Right.
I wasted it. I wasted everybody's time. I wasted my time. I wasted my employer's time. My employer wasted my time. Forcing me to, I've never done a mock draft in my life. I refuse to do one. Mm-hmm. Lisa Wilson said when she was the boss at the Buffalo News, oh, you're going to start doing mock drafts because her husband, her late husband, he used to do them. Somebody's got to do them. And I said, Jay Skursky will do them. Yeah. I'm not doing them.
Well, he's athletic.
Jay likes to do it.
He does.
Jay likes to do the mock drafts. He's going to come in. That's why I'm having Jay in. Jay knows all this stuff. But here's a great example. 2013. The Buffalo Bills lose Andy Levitre in free agency, and what happens? Chance Warmack all of a sudden became a big thing. Chance Warmack, best interior line prospect in the 2013 draft. Chance Warmack, Chance Warmack, Chance Warmack, Chance Warmack. You know, the past two seasons, Chance Warmack has started five NFL games. And he was drafted 10th overall by the Tennessee Titans. The Titans didn't even re-sign him. Yes, he was on the Eagles last year, won a Super Bowl ring, but he played four snaps in the Super Bowl. Just like all the waste, and nobody knows who Chance, I had to look up Chance Warmack. And at the time, we were encyclopedic about Chance Warmack.
And not just him, that year was also when former Bills
Luke
quarterback
Jokel.
Ryan Nassib got drafted by the Bills.
That's the Ryan Nassib draft class.
That's the Ryan Nassib.
EJ Manuel, Geno Smith.
Right, but that was when Doug Marrone became the coach of the Bills, came from Syracuse. Ryan Nassib played at Syracuse, and people just made this immediate connection that the Bills needed the quarterback. They're going to draft Ryan Nassib. Mm-hmm. Two-year joke, former Bills quarterback Ryan Nassib. He got drafted third round, I believe, by the Giants. But to your point, Tim, I texted you this the other day. Just to show you how much some of this is worthless before the draft, there's Eric Galco, who is on Optimum Scouting's Twitter. I don't know his track record. I don't know him personally. I don't know if he's been right or wrong. There's certainly a following that he has. But February 18th, he goes on WGR and says, I've been told by people around the league that a lot of teams feel Buffalo covets Josh Rosen. People consider that Buffalo and Josh Rosen are a match. It will be difficult to get him, though, because they'll need to get into the top two picks. So April 22nd.
Hey, wait, what's this guy's name again?
Eric Galco.
Eric Galco, and he's on, like...
This is his job, Optimum Scouting. This is his brand.
And he's on. He does interviews and stuff, because every day on the radio, you had to have a different voice telling you what was going to happen in the draft. And none of them know.
In February, before teams have met with most of these guys. So April 22nd, a little over 2 months later, he tweets... As of today, here's where I have the QBs in my mock draft. Sam Darnold to the Browns, number one. Josh Allen to the Bills, number two. Da-da-da. All the way down to 17. Josh Rosen. So not only did the Bills not covet Josh Rosen, apparently, and the apple of Brandon Bean's eye, as Galco said on the radio, but he was available not only at 2, not only at 12, not only at 15, he was available at 17. So everything he said 2 months ago doesn't matter. And look, it's not just him. I'm not trying to single him out, but this is how the pre-draft process always goes down.
There are 100 Galcos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there are, and yeah, we shouldn't, I mean, maybe he's a nice guy. I've never met him. I don't know him. But there are so many people in our business who see an opening to make a name for themselves, to make some money, maybe, to join the cottage industry. Rob Rang, who is one of the most widely known draftniks in the country now. As of, I think, 5 years ago, he was a teacher. He was a high school teacher. And he ends up quitting his job so he could run Draft Scout, I think it was, or read the magazine and the publication.
You
know, it's a matter of just doing it. Like, you know what? I'm just going to decide I'm going to do it, and I'm going to market it, and I'm going to be available to every radio show that needs a guy to come on and talk about who might be a second-round tight end. All you have to do is you know, study it for a couple of weeks, and
you don't have to be right either.
Absolutely not.
You know?
No,
absolutely.
It's like the weatherman.
Right. Exactly.
Like, people forget.
That's a great comment.
How many times have, like, what's Mel Kiper's percentage?
Yeah.
You know, I'm serious.
Right.
Because you can make these predictions, and then what happens? You know, the weather's different, or somebody else gets drafted. Weird, and people forget, and then it starts up next year again.
And you're just gonna put out different. Look, this isn't anything that the listener, if we have any right now, hasn't heard before. Everybody's heard the complaint about it. But the idea of even coming out with a mock draft before free agency.
It's tough.
You don't even know what teams' needs are going to be. Trades, all this types of stuff happen. The combine hasn't even happened yet when mock drafts start coming out. But it's wasted breath. But the draft is upon us, and we're going to have a draft show, and we're going to have Jay Skursky in here, and we're going to talk about what we know now, which is really nothing.
But I was just going to say, on the subject of mock drafts and the success rate of them, Mark Dalton, who is the senior vice president of communications for the Arizona Cardinals, their PR chief, tweeted a couple days ago, a review of 37 prominent mock drafts in 2017 revealed the average number of first-round hits, the right player to the right team, was 4.2 out of 32.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
The highest number of hits last year was 8 out of 32. Not to brag, ESPN's NFL Nation had 8, as well as Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network.
Well, I'd be more interested in how many first-round picks, period, they got, guys being in the first round, because I think they're generally pretty good at that. And this idea that you don't need a quarterback in the first round, how many of the starters in the NFL were first-round picks at quarterback? A high percentage of them.
Correct.
So, but that's not the point with me, whether they're right or wrong. I mean, it's just a manufactured industry, mm-hmm. a pastime for people that are losers who, you know, who don't spend any time, like, following real sports and real games from January to April and are consumed by this thing. It's just their way of life, and I just feel sorry for them. I just think it betrays a real,
a lack of worldliness.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a sports writer, but geez, I like sports. I like games. This stuff is just all phoniness. These people don't have lives. I don't know who knows what else they do. And if they're not even watching baseball or basketball during this time. I suppose I don't have time to actually follow the news.
Hockey rumors? What's that hockey rumor site?
Let me put it that way.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
You know, the trade rumors, that those are clearly invented.
And they get worse towards the draft or towards the trade deadline, which is funny.
Well, that's the other thing. There's the advent of Twitter has only expanded this more and more. And anybody can go on Twitter, call themselves a scout, and either A, put out a rumor that, I'm hearing from a person I trust. That's always a great line I love to read. A person I trust, as opposed to I'm hearing from somebody I don't trust. Like, okay, great. I would hope you trust whoever you're quoting. They'll say, you know, report something about this team likes this guy, blah, blah, blah. Or they'll post a video, you know, a highlight or a GIF or whatever. And it's like just this salivation over guys who have never played a snap in the NFL, like, oh, look what he did. Look what this guy did against, you know, Wyoming State. Oh, you know, it just shook this guy out of his shoes. Like, okay. Like, 20% of players who do that in college actually can do that in the pros. It doesn't translate. And just
20 might be high.
Probably you're right. But the obsession over, you know, highlight reels and you know, this guy's got, you know, generational
loose hips.
Right.
This guy is pad level.
Tight skin.
Awesome pad level.
Tight skin.
Well, the players themselves, too, are treated like as commodities. I mean, the human element goes right out the window in most cases.
What just annoys me is the projection that just because a player is good in college means that he's going to work out in the NFL. And it's just like, oh, I can't wait to see this guy play. He's freakish. Yeah. You know, he's going to change the game. We don't know that.
It's so unpredictable.
We don't know that.
I did a piece when I was at ESPN.com where I just Googled different players' names and or positions, I think it was, so I could come up with it, and the word beast. Oh. And all the different guys who were beasts.
Oh.
You know, so-and-so is a beast. Everybody was just a beast back then.
Yeah. I can't stand it.
So here we are, the day before the draft. It'll all be over soon, and I think that's why we're here to celebrate it. Not here to give our predictions as to what the Bills will do, because, again, it's wasted breath. But to here to celebrate the end of pre-draft coverage season. The pre-draft season is almost over, everybody. We can rejoice and actually talk about which players went with which teams. Here's the other thing, just real quick before we go to a break. When you see all the mocks, or not the mocks, but the actual draft, when it gets graded on Monday or even before then, probably you're going to see the first round get graded
happening.
Friday night or Thursday night.
First
by Sunday, everybody will have a grade. And the grades are based on the mock drafts, which, again, were wasted energy and guesswork and dartboards.
Right.
But everybody's going to get a grade. Up, the Bills got a B+.
Right. They reach for this guy.
Based on mock drafts.
Right. Based on mock drafts and based on scouting reports. And, look, it's impossible for us. We can't be scouts. We don't know these guys. We don't see these guys. So we can't truly grade them. But a lot of it's based on positional need, too. But, you know, the fact that the Bills took a quarterback because they needed one in 2013 in the first round, that shouldn't have gotten high grade, and obviously in the end it didn't.
Yeah, they drafted Zay Jones for a need, and I got them some B+. How'd that work out for Zay?
Yeah.
Shaq Lawson, Reggie Ragland. They traded up for Reggie Ragland.
Because they were going to start off the bus.
Right. You know, he was in consideration in the first round for him, and you know, the fact that they got him in the second round was a steal.
Mike, the Bills couldn't believe that these guys were available.
It's amazing.
That was amazing. Three guys in that draft class. We just couldn't. Adolphus Washington.
Oh, my God.
We just couldn't believe he was still available when it came our time to pick, and we just had to make that pick.
Tell me that Doug Whaley and Jim Monas
ran to the board.
Just shocked.
Jim Monas, what's he doing these days? He's running an app?
Yeah, like Jim Monas, former director of player personnel for the Bills, is working on Twitter promoting restaurants around the country. He gets like one retweet per.
He's not in the league.
He's not in the league. Doug Whaley's not in the league.
Buddy Nix is not in the league.
No.
The general manager prior to them was Russ Brandon. Still in the league, but, well, we can talk about that.
Still at the table.
We can talk about that. Tom Donahoe out of the league for a long time. Yeah, so for the first time in a long time, the Bills actually have a front office comprised of people other teams would want.
True.
Brandon Bean, Joe Shane,
they've already had
Boyd.
Guys poached. I mean, Brian Gain, Lake Dawson stayed because he didn't get the Panthers job.
But he got multiple interviews.
He's interviewed for a bunch of jobs.
So I will say that. That's one thing I am excited about with this draft. I just want to see how Brandon Bean does. And I'm not going to be able to grade it. Don't ask me to grade it afterwards. I'll know how well he did down the road, but come on, everybody. Go play with your kids or something. Go read a book. Go to a museum. Like, just chill the F out. And obviously, it's too late now, but maybe know this for next year.
I was just going to say.
Tap the brakes. Tim Graham Show, Sports Radio 1270, The Fan. Welcome back to the Tim Graham Show, where we are celebrating the end of pre-draft season. Thank God. We can talk about players who actually get drafted by their actual teams and what holes they might actually fill.
And how they love coming to Buffalo.
Oh, right. Then we get that phase.
Oh, yeah.
What an honor it was to be picked by the Bills.
We need a bingo board for the questions for their conference call.
Right, the cliche questions.
Oh, my God.
What do you think of the weather?
Think of the weather? What do you know about Buffalo? Who do you know on this team?
Have you had wings?
Did you meet? How many times did you meet with them? I mean, yeah, some of those are questions you do need to ask, but like, oh, my God.
Who's your agent?
How about that arrest? I know it wasn't a big deal.
That's right. Gotten to be a... That's a perennial
Well, then you ask the GM and the coach, and, you know, it's always, we looked into that, and we were comfortable with what we learned, and we felt like we were going to pick him.
We looked in his eyes, and I saw kindness.
We played the woman off.
I always remember Cyrus Kwanjo when he got drafted telling us about how when he played at Alabama, he only lost, two games or whatever. He said, I'm going to come to Buffalo, and I know how to win. I'm all about winning.
God.
Great. Cool. Didn't really matter.
All right. See you in a couple months.
Jumping over fences.
In the field. I was just going to say.
Your pants on.
In the field.
Like, now.
Even the post-draft. The post-draft is annoying to an extent.
Yeah.
It's all annoying.
It's all going through.
You have OTAs and you go out there and,
I've done this too damn long. After 9 years of this, you realize the cliches and the archetypes. And.
Well, you're too young. Too young to be cynical.
Too young to be cynical.
Jaded already.
I am. I'm talking about a decade. It's the same thing every year.
You should go cover.
Go back to Boston, Rodak.
For a while. You know?
I'd do your job for free. You don't appreciate it.
Yeah, can you give me a pass? Every time someone always asks my wife, does he get you a pass to the games? It's like, I'm lucky I get in. All right. I'm gonna bring Melinda. Like, she'd really care. She hates the league.
What's your favorite aspect of life as we know it today that will be over with in 24 hours? Or I should say, what are you most looking forward to being over with?
Winter.
Oh, that's a good one.
Or whatever the spring is called.
Way to play along, Mike.
I know.
Yeah.
It's what I do best. Everybody else apparently is playing along just as well.
My favorite part, or my should be my least favorite part, what I'm most looking forward to being over with, is turning on a radio station and hearing some guy whom I've never heard of before in my life telling me what I should care about this upcoming draft. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your credentials are. I have zero idea where you came from or who you work for. But here you are on my radio telling me with authority and with definitiveness what's going to happen in the upcoming draft. Or even the guys who waffle a little bit, but they still have their, using finger quotes, sources. I'm going to be glad when that's all over.
Yep.
I'm going to be glad when the QB speculation is, when they finally make their pick and we just live and die with it, go from there, let it be over. I'm just tired of the speculation.
And I'll be glad when we can just focus on one player, one quarterback, instead of having to learn and read about Josh Rosen's background and Josh Allen, and you just block everybody else out. This is at least a luxury of my job, is just focusing on one guy, learn about him, and go from there. You don't have to worry about six different quarterbacks.
That's why I refuse to even wade into the college rank, you know, trying to rank guys at different positions. Looking at film, that's my favorite misnomer, too. The guy, I'm breaking down film
from the
SEC, and I'm really looking, giving a hard look at the LSU guys this week. Somebody will tweet out, yeah, the film. You're looking at highlights and like games on YouTube.
I heard a guy on the radio today.
Not all 22 or anything like that, but yeah, I'm breaking down the film of some guy's highlight reel.
I heard a guy on the radio say that Josh Allen's throws were perfect through for cutting
here comes
strong winds.
Yeah, that was that's my answer.
He was dead serious.
The weather thing.
Like he could have gone off on a tangent talking about the trajectory of the ball if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Name me a Hall of Fame quarterback who was a Hall of Fame quarterback because he played in the right kind of weather.
Well, E.J. Manuel and his large hands.
How many
Mark Sanchez and his large
silly
hands?
Talk. It's like, yeah, it helps, but any good quarterback, if you, Drew Brees probably, they would never put him in this place because he's only great because he's got to play in New Orleans in a dome. He would find a way to get the ball to people.
How many Bills games has wind really been a deciding factor? I mean, 2008 against the Patriots in Week 17 when it was 60, 70 miles an hour. Besides that,
the snow game, but
what did it matter in the snow game?
Yeah,
there were so many other factors in that game. It's just such a small part of it. Like to decide a player based on that is so ridiculous. Just like it's ridiculous to decide to draft Josh Allen because he can throw it 70 yards. I agree with AJ McCarron. I don't think arm strength in that aspect is all that important because how many times a game does that happen? Once? Twice? And it takes your entire offensive line blocking right. It takes your receiver running the right route and beating his defender. There's so many things that have to go right for a 50, 60, 70-yard throw to work, which is why they don't usually work, which is why you shouldn't draft the player because he can throw it 80 yards. I don't care. Throw it 10 yards accurately 10 times in a row. That's more important.
I'd say accuracy is far more important. Can you name a quarterback in recent history? Because, you know, Josh Allen obviously has accuracy issues. But a quarterback in recent history who had accuracy issues, who overcame them in the NFL, who improved them to a point where they became that good?
I can't think of anybody. When I think of guys like Roethlisberger and Rodgers, they were really good in college. I mean, they've done studies, I think, that if you throw for 55% or lower in college, you're not going to become a great, accurate quarterback, by and large, in the pros.
Because it's one of those things you can't teach. Yeah. It's like innate.
And I'm drawing a blank on those big arm guys that, you know, turned it around. Just, they don't tend to get drafted
there.
That much.
I'm putting it out there because people say, oh, well, that's something. We could bring him in. We could work with him.
Right.
Then they say the same thing about Manuel. How did that work out?
Yeah.
Rob Johnson had a gun. He sucked.
Accuracy is the hardest thing to coach in a quarterback. And there are, I think when it comes to drafting them out of college, there's a belief that, all right, let's say Josh Allen at Wyoming. How great is the quarterback coach at Wyoming? To get a guy in Laramie, Wyoming, and not to be in Southern California or the Northwest or out in the SEC, chances are Wyoming doesn't have a a brilliant quarterback guru in its backyard. So I think there's a belief with some types of players like, well, we can chisel some of this stuff off of them. It's footwork. It's about your throwing base. It's about, you know, all these different things.
Mechanics.
But to me, it reminds me of, and I would just see it over and over and over again, and it's a bit of a different sport, obviously, but in boxing, the idea of the new trainer coming in. You know, Oscar De La Hoya was always had a new trainer when things would get a little shaky. Well, we're going to bring in a new trainer.
What about the golf, the new swing coach?
That's kind of, sure, there's that too.
Same thing. New caddy.
But to bring in a new trainer in boxing, and the bell rings, and the guy has been, it's ingrained in him. By the time you're entering the NFL, how many passes has Josh Allen thrown? Same thing with Tim Tebow. You can he tried in earnest to correct his throwing motion and do all these other things. And here is a supreme athlete that Tim Tebow is, probably the greatest college football player ever in terms of what he accomplished statistically and in terms of championships. And the guy tried hard. And I don't think he cheated himself or his coaches or anything. And you can't do it because he's learned it for too many years.
That's exactly.
And when the boxer gets punched in the head and the trainer's saying, no, duck to your left. And he's like, well, I can't. Because I don't know how to just all of a sudden think my way through getting punched around, or when you're lining up for a clutch pitch, you know, to get on the green, and you have it doesn't work.
I'm 6'4". Do you think a quarterback's coach could coach me into an NFL quarterback?
No. That's a terrible example.
You know, if Charlie Weiss or Josh McDaniels, if Weiss and McDaniels were in Chicago or Buffalo, you think they would be considered great offensive coordinators? They happen to work with Brady. You think they made Brady better, or did Brady make them better? Now, you can improve people. Tom House is kind of a quarterback guy now. He's a pitcher. He's a baseball pitcher. Works with pitchers, but he's also working with quarterbacks. But it's about their physical.
He's working with Nathan Peterman.
He's improving them physically. He's not teaching them how to read defenses and how to be accurate, right?
That's what Tom Martinez did. And he was Tom Brady's personal passing coach. He was based up in the Bay Area. He's since passed away, but he was not a member of the Patriots coaching staff. And we had these discussions as Tom Martinez and I used to talk periodically. And he would mention to me that you get a quarterback who reaches a certain level, quarterback coaches are afraid to tell him anything. They don't want to ruin but a guy like Tom Brady does constantly need tweaks. So he needs to go to somebody, a lot of times, not on the staff, to find a guy who he trusts and to tell him exactly what he's doing, who has a base of knowledge that goes back a ways. And so whoever the quarterback coach was in New England wasn't going to help Tom Brady out nearly as much as a passing mechanics guy was. And a lot of times the quarterback's coach doesn't know the mechanics of the position. They know things like play calling, like you say, reading defenses. They just show up and they run the quarterback room, but that doesn't mean that they can mold you into being the next anything.
They never really had one. The only year the Patriots had an actual quarterbacks coach separate from their offensive coordinator was 2002 with John Huffnagel. Otherwise, it's always been McDaniels or Bill O'Brien or Charlie Weiss. That's it.
That's why in basketball you don't mess with a shooter's shot or rhythm, because it'll just make them worse. Like if someone's been shooting and they got their elbow out or whatever, but it works, it goes in the...
Right. You always start overthinking it.
Yes. That's why most coaches, they say they just leave it alone. You see guys with weird shots going into the NBA, and they've never had him adjusted.
A lot of it.
Because of that.
With Tiger, he needs someone to blame, really. He keeps changing swing coaches.
Right.
They don't know what they're doing, but he just needed to move on. I mean, he's still Tiger Woods.
Mike, you were mentioning how you'd never really need to throw it 80 yards in a game. Mm-hmm. Maybe when you're down by four or more points and you happen to be on your own 30 and you needed to get it in the end zone. So that's going to happen once a season, twice a season.
Right.
But it reminded me of this famous quote from Bum Phillips. He said about Earl Campbell. Earl Campbell at training camp didn't pass his mile run. You know, back then there used to be these old-fashioned ways of getting into shape, and Earl Campbell couldn't finish the mile in the right amount of time, and Bum Phillips gave him a pass. And a reporter asked him, well, what does it say about Earl's conditioning? And he says, when it's first in a mile, I won't give it to him.
I love that quote.
All right, more celebrating of the end of pre-draft season after this break on the Tim Graham Show, Sports Radio 1270 The Fan.
look so quick.
Welcome back to the Tim Graham Show on Sports Radio 1270 The Fan, here with my usual co-host, the Big Crooked, Mike Rodak of ESPN.com. Fresh-faced and all full of life from Bristol, Connecticut, where he did the NFL Nation mock draft. Who'd you end up taking?
Josh Allen, who fell to number 12. Josh Rosen fell to 11, went number 11 to the Dolphins.
You were going to go best quarterback there at 12?
Yeah.
And you guys can't factor in trades or anything like that.
Nope. I wanted to trade it back in that case. I mean, if Allen's there at 12, I think the Bills should take him if there's not a Rosen or Darnold or Mayfield still on the board.
And then what'd you do at 22?
If he drops to 12,
but I think it's better to draft him at 12 in case he's a bust than trade the house for him at three.
You went a cornerback at number 22, right?
Right. Jaire Alexander from Louisville, who has certainly risen up the board a little bit after his combine workout, but he was very productive at Louisville. Can play in the slot, can play outside.
All right, well, we'll talk about that some more when Jay Skirsky's in here.
Right, you know, I'm just...
You sound
I know,
like
I wanted
of,
to give...
I
like
watched the All-22.
I just wanted to say that you're fresh back from Bristol. We're pleased to have you here and at Sports Radio 1270, the Fan Studios, where you do your best work.
It's true.
Buffalo News senior columnist Jerry Sullivan here for one more segment, and Lindsay Dariangelo here for the entire show. Mm-hmm. And a great piece that is at The Guardian right now called, the headline on it is, "If I Don't, Who Will? Can Kamadi Holsey Tweet His Way into the NFL?" And you may not know the name Kamadi Holsey, but he is a UB wide receiver, and it's really a look at all the hundreds of Kamadi Holseys that there are out there. But here's a guy who did something a little bit different and gave Lindsay Dariangelo great access into his thinking and his process and how a fringe prospect might be able to make it into the NFL. Hey, longer shots than Kamadi Holsey have made it. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens. It's a great piece. I urge everybody to check it out at The Guardian. So you know when the Brits are posting pre-draft coverage
content,
that it's a big deal.
That's
smart
right.
Journalism, the Brits, you know.
So
I'm
speaking,
impressed.
Mike Rodak brought it up during the commercial break, and I want to talk about it here real quick before we get into Jerry Sullivan's dream and nightmare scenarios for tomorrow night with the Buffalo Bills and how they handle the first round in the draft. We're just talking about how ridiculous pre-draft season is and that we are relishing the fact that it has come to an end. We are on the eve of the draft, and it's all going to be over soon. We're going to know which teams took which guys, where teams really did rank on draft boards, not what somebody in a home office in Dubuque thought a guy was worth or graded. But CBS Sports, an NFL rights holder, a very prominent site, major network news site, has some rankings for some quarterbacks today. This isn't from November of 2017. This is today, the day before the draft. Mike Rodak, can you give us the rankings of let's just take a look at the quarterbacks.
The top quarterback they have ranked as the number 10 overall player in the draft is not Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, or Josh Rosen. It is Mason Rudolph of Oklahoma State. And in fact, number two,
maybe a day two draft pick, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I walk by again. It's all subjective. Everybody who's grading this, nobody's truly an expert, but Scout Sync with ESPN, who I'll trust them. Like, they've been in that business of doing it for a while. They have a draft board as you walk into the NFL studio of all the positions and players slotted first, second, third round, et cetera. And Rudolph was slotted right there in the third round. Below everybody else who I think has become the consensus top four or five quarterbacks in the draft. But if you look at the consensus top four, I'd even say Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, and Allen, none of them are number two for CBS Sports. Number two is Lamar Jackson as the 14th overall player in the draft. So you have to go down from there. Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, Allen are the next four. They have Josh Allen, who could go in the top three of this draft. He could go number one. They have him as the 54th rated player in this draft. Baker Mayfield, the 34th rated. Sam Darnold is just 22nd.
Do you think this is somebody just trying to be counter into, or like, hey, take a look at how smart I am? Or is this not been updated for 6 months?
I don't know. Can't give you
I would
answer.
Hope it hasn't been updated for 6 months. That would be my, if I were visiting this site, which I don't check this stuff out, but if I were visiting this site and came across this list, I would say, I hope for CBS Sports' sake that this hasn't been updated.
Maybe there's a stubbornness there, too, where, you know, if we rated this player this way in December or January, right after the season, that we're not going to change that.
Now, we can't say exactly, NFL guys are going to lie to us, but there are independent scouting services out there. You've already mentioned one. Another one that's prominent and used, and teams are members, they subscribe to their services. It's OurLads. Mm-hmm. Dan Shonka, who used to be in the Philadelphia Eagles front office and has been a high-level scout for decades in the NFL, runs OurLads, and they scout it just like they would if they were scouting for a team. And then you can buy their reports and things like that. Or Blesto, for instance. Mm-hmm. Blesto is another one that's out there, an independent scouting service. Dan Shonka is telling me that there's only one quarterback who's worth even taking in this draft, well, in the first round, that is, and it's Baker Mayfield. Beyond that,
wow.
He doesn't think that anybody's is worth where they are going to be drafted. Yes, there are projects. They're the types of guys, and the word the project can be misconstrued. A lot of times people say project and they think Levi Brown or Nathan Peterman. But
right.
These are where he says projects are guys who can't just come in and start right away. The only guy he's comfortable with in the first round is Baker Mayfield. And CBS Sports has Baker Mayfield, what?
Fifth,
and two guys who probably may not even go in the first round as number one and number two.
We had Shonka have Deshaun Watson going last year. I'd like to look and see what the intelligence was back then, and that's just ridiculous because it just discounts the importance of the position. You draft them high because they're important and they decide your team for a generation, and just because you think there's a couple of guards and running backs and cornerbacks who are better at their position, they should go higher. It's stupid. I know you quoted him in your story. He's another guy that wants to have a counter opinion that makes him look good, I think.
Well, yeah, I would agree. I would, Jerry, I don't dismiss that, but the point we're making here is that then you have this something that comes out of nowhere. You know, it's junk.
With this one here?
Yeah, the CBS Sports one is not even from a scouting service. Like, where do you come up with it?
What are the measurables?
Like, what's the background of the people? Who's doing it?
Here's another one.
Oh, wait, Jonah's been waiting patiently.
I'll get in line.
Well, as much as the Ireland's guy might be qualified, I forget the name, but the flaw with these mock drafts is there's so little reporting. When people open a mock draft, they want to maybe get some sense at who the NFL team's like, where these guys should go, as I think you see in other sports, but this is everybody, one man's opinion, like it's a fantasy football draft, or it reminds me of recruiting rankings coming out of high school, which are notoriously inaccurate. But it's this one guy goes into a gym with a notebook, writes down what he thinks, and he comes up with his rankings. And we talked about this at the commercial break. Maybe what's going on at CBS is if our rankings are the same as everybody else, we're not going to get as many clicks, as much attention. But if we have an order that's a little bit out there, everybody's going to come see, hey, why do they think Mason Rudolph's the number one quarterback when nobody else does?
That's like fake news. You know, I mean, that's just very disturbing. But I think there's a lot of that. Just like I think there's a lot of these experts who are in bed with GMs and are doing their bidding to get sourced information, agents. And a lot of the stuff you're getting is not legitimate, and it's not well reported, and it's not honest. And it makes me hate the process even more and want to celebrate that it's over, Tim.
Jerry, what's going to happen tomorrow that will please you or will displease you? Because it's your job as the columnist to have an opinion right away, and that's not to say what you're predicting will happen, but there are ways that you could be satisfied with what the Bills do versus dissatisfied. And, you know, for instance, something like the Sammy Watkins trade, people loved it or hated it, but most people, I think, right away saw, oh, wait, well, this is crazy, and covered it as such. I don't know. What are the scenarios that you're either dreading or hoping happen?
Well, because it's always about me and being on deadline, I want them to move up and make a pick quick so you have more time to digest it and write about it. But it's a draft where anything that happens is going to be worthy of commentary, because if they don't take someone up high, then it's like, what happened here? The column I don't want to write, but I'm fearful I might, is they just took the fifth best quarterback in the best quarterback draft in 20 years, and they're telling us that they wanted him all along. I don't buy it. What I want to write, and I alluded to it in today's preview column, is that Brandon Bean in his first draft went for it, and he traded up for their purposes, the best thing is what Jay Skursky wrote in his mock today, is that Rosen drops to 8. You don't have to pay a mountain of currency. Does currency come in mountains?
And you sure
get
it does.
You get it cheaper.
So it can.
I just don't buy the thing that Rosen's dropping like that.
What's the line between trading up and getting the guy you want versus trading up for Sammy Watkins? I mean, there's a big gap in between there, right?
Well, that was
just dumb.
That was the fallacy that they needed a quarterback, that a receiver to help their quarterback be great, which we said earlier. You're either good or you're not, and it was a reflex based on the stupid manual pick and a general manager who was desperate to try and make himself look good. So that was a really out there pick.
And didn't have a boss, by the way, and didn't have an owner at the time telling him he shouldn't do it.
But you trade up, you maybe get Carson Wentz. You maybe get Deshaun Watson. You maybe get Jared Goff, who looked like he was worth it last year. I think you have to go after the guy. Because most quarterbacks in the league who are good were high picks. I know there's Brady and there's a couple others, but that's how you get them.
So here's another draft guy that's out there, and there's bushels of them out there. But Dan Hatman, who runs the Scouting Academy, he's a former scout, I believe, for the Jets. He basically trains scouts, and he said a lot of them are currently coaching and or have coached college or high school. All have worked to enhance their ability to evaluate the game. And so they go through and they do evaluations of all the guys. And I'd say it's more reputable than somebody sitting in their basement in Dubuque. Their top quarterback is Josh Rosen. And then down from there, Darnold, Mayfield, Jackson, and Allen tied. And you have to go all the way down to Rudolph as a much lower-rated player. So CBS Sports has Rudolph as not only the best quarterback, but the 10th overall player in this draft. Well, Inside the Pylon / the Scouting Academy has Mason Rudolph ranked 95th overall in this class. Wow. 10th or 95th?
That's quite the variable.
Yeah, yep. I mean,
does anybody know?
I mean, there's people think Allen, Rosen, and Darnold could go 1, 2, 3, or Mayfield. They could go 4 of the top 6, and that CBS thing says none of them go in the top 15? That's just ludicrous.
Well, that's saying best, you know, for instance, Saquon Barkley is considered the number one prospect in this year's draft,
right,
but he's not going number one on anybody's draft board. You know, so it's based on, that was based on just talent or grade.
Player ranking.
Not where they might go in the draft. So, but still, it is.
But he's got none of those four going in the top 5 based on that, I don't think. Not if he's got Rudolph and Jackson ahead of them. He's saying that they're really not very good in that. Chubb and the guard and all these other people will probably be drafted ahead of them.
So you want to see Brandon
throwing
Bean?
Chubb out there like I know who he is.
Yeah, that's right.
Two Chubbs in the draft, actually.
Yeah,
there's a running back Chubb, and then there's the defensive end.
You'll probably have a Chubb going into the draft.
Oh, I have a big Chubb. I always do.
I wasn't going to say
it. Oh, God.
All right, so you guys want to hear another one? WalterFootball.com. They have Sam Darnold.
I want that.
They have Sam Darnold as their number one. They have Josh Allen as their number two. Baker Mayfield as their number three. Josh Rosen as their number four. Lamar Jackson as their number five. You can order these guys. I mean,
I could literally make a mock draft and just throw it up there.
There's 16 million websites.
Whoops.
Sorry.
We had a discussion last week about whether or not that was acceptable, Lindsay.
What?
That exact phrase?
That word. That particular word. And there was a belief by our producer that it was okay.
Oh, come on.
But I don't know.
But it works.
There are FCC regulations involved.
Right. That was the FCC.
We'll discuss
it
after.
I said it on Las Vegas radio about a couple months ago. I've never done that before in my career where I've slipped up like that, and I did right there on the air with a buddy station of mine where we were talking about the Bills and the Jaguars. It was the night before the Bills played in the playoffs, and I dropped an S-bomb.
Wow.
That's all right.
Pro Football Focus.
Nobody's listening.
It's God, because I feel
God
so
help the culture. The president.
Nobody's listening.
Said it.
And there's that.
Pro Football Focus has Baker Mayfield as their top quarterback, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They're individual.
I have Kyle LaLetta, just for you all know. He's my top quarterback
guy,
in this draft. Oh, yeah.
I like the guy from Toledo.
Who knows?
I think he's going to go high.
Yeah, the guy from
Woodside is his name or something.
I think the guy from Western Michigan or, you know, Eastern Kentucky or who knows? That's why I hate the draft. Nobody knows.
At least Pro Football Focus, though, is statistically based. And anything that is an objective ranking is probably going to have Baker Mayfield number one. He's come up. you know, completion percentage and yards per attempt, all those type things that they think correlate. He's been
Pro Football Focus is it's pure analytics. It's not the fact that it's not arrest records or bad interviewing.
That'd be a great mock draft.
Right. Yeah. What phrenology? I want to see a mock draft based on phrenology, where at the combine they actually just do a skull measurements.
You have the Wonderlic, which is probably not far off.
I think it is, Mike.
Do
you know what phrenology is?
I do. But
all right. I don't think phrenology and the Wonderlic are compatible.
I think both are equally useless. But.
How about an all-time notorious NFL draft? You pick like three rounds. You could probably fit number one overall pick. Aaron Hernandez, right? Wait. O.J.
Simpson would have to be up there.
Right.
And Aaron just dropped to two. Yeah. This is more fun than the real draft.
Yeah.
How about, wait a minute.
Laramie Tunzel,
who's the guy that killed his girlfriend that had the baby?
Ray Carruth.
Ray Carruth might, I don't know. Yep. I might put him at number one.
Well, where would you put somebody like...
Ray Lewis.
Oh. Where would he fall?
He's a first rounder.
Well, see, that's
sure.
where... This is where it's like...
He slides to the top.
He would be my Josh Rosen. Or he would be my,
Mason Rudolph.
I'd have him way high. I'd have to have him.
Way high.
I probably would outrank him.
Because I'd go Dave Meggett.
Billy Cannon.
Way up there.
I've actually interviewed the victims' families from the Ray Lewis incident. And so I have a vested interest in that. And I've interviewed OJ too. So maybe I can swing a deal and get them both. I don't know.
Who was the lineman a couple years ago that Dallas drafted where he basically went undrafted because they thought he may have killed his girlfriend? And then it turned out.
Lyle Collins.
Yeah.
Good times.
Who met with Rex Ryan at a restaurant in Baton Rouge.
That's right.
And it appears now that was an inaccurate report. I mean, he's still in the league, right?
Correct.
No, Jerry's thinking about this now. It sounds like this is going to be a good summer column.
I'm going to go home and work on it now. This will be my first mock draft, the notorious.
You're way
too
early.
Think of the arguments. What, OJ, not one? Are you kidding me?
I think OJ.
How about Lance Rensel?
Oh, Lance is a great one.
Lance Rensel would be
I'd put
up
him
there.
Up high because if, you know, Joey Heatherton, she wasn't good enough. I mean, even as a 12-year-old, you know, you knew something was wrong there.
Jerry, thanks for coming in and celebrating the end of pre-draft
I'm just getting all
season.
Up. You're going to throw me out
his
now.
His whole attitude just changed.
I'm going home and work on it.
Jerry Sullivan, senior columnist at the Buffalo News, thanks for coming in. We're going to have Jay Skursky for the next hour. We may actually hear some draft talk. I don't know if he's been listening. Well, let's not say anything to Jay, and then we'll gently find out whether or not he's been listening to the show. And we'll see. Maybe he's walking into a buzzsaw.
Wonder what he's wearing.
Whatever his mom dressed him with.
His wife.
Damn
his
it.
Wife.
Damn it.
Good. Nice try, though.
Bobby just jumped right over to the mic to get that in.
Good try. Good effort.
We can explain it next.
At least he didn't rush to the mic to say anything like Lindsay D'Arcangelo has been saying on the air.
I'm so foul-mouthed.
They can't hear you, Jerry.
Tim Graham Show. We're going to get more draft talk after this. Sports Radio 1270 The Fan. Welcome back to the Tim Graham Show on Sports Radio 1270 The Fan. Here with Big Crooked Mike Rodak of ESPN.com. Lindsay D'Arcangelo of The Guardian. Is that a first byline in The Guardian today?
That is my first byline in The Guardian.
Lindsay D'Arcangelo has this fascinating story about a Kamadi Holsey, UB receiver. And it's really not a UB story. It just happens to feature a UB player who's trying to tweet his way into the NFL, or at least that's the question. That's the premise. Can he do it? Highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely. But he is a borderline prospect, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like Kamadi Holsey ends up on a practice squad, or at least goes to training camp with somebody.
He's gotten some looks. He had a workout with the Bills, and he's...
Which they all do.
Which they all do.
Being a local.
Well, actually, only five players from the UB got a look, but there are scouts who have inquired about him per his coach, and there's a low-grade buzz around his name, especially here on the local level now. Because of what he's done through social media and what he's done himself, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool look. Yeah. And it could be any player from any school could have a Kamadi Holsey, but he's taken it a step extra. And check out Lindsay D'Arcangelo's story at theguardian.com. regarding that. Lindsay D'Arcangelo also has written for ESPNW and Deadspin and Vice Sports and on and on and on. She's written books, and we love having her here in the studio to talk about the draft and why we hate it.
And swear.
And to, yeah, all the swears. There's going to be a Lindsay D'Arcangelo swear jar here on the desk for future episodes.
FCC investigator walking through the door any minute now. I'm going to take you out of handcuffs.
And I keep staring at the door, making sure we're not going to get busted.
Yeah.
Bobby Rosati diddling the knobs, as he's wont to do, and Jonah Bronstein handling things for Facebook Live. You can check out a live stream of this and all previous Tim Graham show. Well, I guess it wouldn't be live if you see it previously, but you can check out previous Tim Graham shows on the Buffalo News' Facebook page, or check this one out as it happens. We're going to have Jay Skursky of the Buffalo News stopping by here in studio to talk about the draft. He is the Buffalo News' resident draft expert. And look, Jay knows it's ridiculous, and we're going to get into that, but it's still his job to know all of these prospects heading into the draft. And that's a different thing than mock drafting to me and projecting who goes where and all this other stuff. That's kind of fun, but really the value that you have heading into the draft is informing the average fan, especially the person who doesn't follow college football, like me, exactly who these guys are and what they're about. And I want to know their stories. I don't want to necessarily know their 40 times, how many bench press reps they did at the combine.
Hand size.
Hand size. I don't need to know three cone drill.
That stuff just numbs my brain. Like you mentioned a certain three cone drill time or, you know, 20 yard split, 10 yard split. I just never feel like it actually translates to anything. You look at the list. Somebody put out a list the other day of velocity, like average throwing velocity as tracked in the pre-draft process. And Josh Allen, of course, is number one.
Vic Carucci wrote about it in Sunday's paper.
Sure he did. But Josh Allen was number one. You know who number four was on that list? It was Logan Thomas. So the Bills could have two of the top four quarterbacks in terms of throwing velocity on their team. The problem is that one of them is now a backup tight end, which goes to show you how much throwing velocity really matters.
Another name that I thought should be on there. Now, I don't know that he had his invitation to the combine rescinded, so it wouldn't be an official time, but he did do a segment with a lot of the other quarterbacks last year for Sports Science, ESPN's show. And Chad Kelly threw the hardest ball in last year's draft class of the people on Sports Science. So, yeah, just because you can
rip it,
whistle it, yeah, doesn't make you a great quarterback. Now, again, I don't think that's what Vic Carucci's story was saying, but it was one of those deals where what can you tell by hand size? Does it matter? Or, I'm sorry, not hand size, but velocity. And it gets back to what we were saying during the first segment, is does it really matter in Buffalo as much as everybody wants to say it does? And I think it's a talking point in Buffalo because it's a source of pride, right? It's like we did when the schedule came out. There were some people that said, all right, we have some winter weather. It's when it's tough for them, it's just right for us, and we're going to have our quarterback going to come in, and he's going to be Mr. Snowplow or whatever. He's going to be the snowblower, we're going to call him, and he's going to have superhero skills.
It's a talking point in Buffalo because there's nothing else to talk about. Because if there was a quarterback, right, then it wouldn't be a discussion.
Right. But there was all that talk when the Saints came here last year, how Breeze might struggle in the wind.
Yeah.
How well did that work out?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I think good quarterbacks are good quarterbacks. Great quarterbacks are great quarterbacks. It's just, like you said, it's mind-numbing, the small intricacies that they examine over and over.
I literally saw a tweet thread, and I forget who did it,
yeah,
but who was rating, it was during the combine, and they were just listing names of quarterbacks or receivers or whoever, and their hand size.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not.
That was a big topic not too long ago on a show I listened to out of New York City. Boomer Esiason was talking about that. It's like, it generally never even matters.
In some cases, it matters.
Right. It will matter if you're talking about an extreme, but as an outlier, you know what I mean? If you're not talking about an outlier. No, okay. Never mind. I missed that.
Yeah.
Went right over,
right over
my
Bobby's head. Totally gone.
Are we still talking about quarterback velocity?
We were talking about hand size a little, too.
One of the names that's very low on that list is Nathan Peterman. I think 49 miles per hour. And I just want to make a point. I think having the strongest arm in the draft doesn't make you the best quarterback, but having one of the weakest arms, it can, I think, along with accuracy, can disqualify you from being a good quarterback.
Agreed.
It's more illustrative on the bottom end, I think, than the top end.
Agree.
Jay Skursky, your thoughts on the draft season being over with tomorrow?
Praise be, right? Yeah, I mean, I think we're all, I've maintained for a long time that, you know, if the NFL wanted to bump up their offseason calendar by about 2 weeks, that's everything. It's, you know, the combine and to when the draft is. You know, at this point, how much more can these teams need to find out about these prospects? I think, you know, it's dragged on to the point where everybody is kind of thankful that it's over when it, you know, when it finally arrives and takes place. And I think that is a little bit, you know, not the NFL's message or, you know, hope that that happens. But I think there is, you know, I think draft fatigue is real among fans.
Do you remember 2 years ago? Not 2 years. It was 4 years ago now.
They moved 2014. Later, right?
It was in May.
Right.
The second week of May. And Doug Whaley said he gave his scouts, you know, a week off, 2 weeks off before the draft because they were done.
Right. Yeah.
That's surprising.
And then traded up. They traded up for Sammy Watkins.
I just want to set the record straight, too. I was listening on the way over.
Of course you were.
Nice.
All right.
Oh, very good.
I would take...
Many listeners.
I would take Aaron Hernandez, number one.
Oh,
I mean, the body count there is a little higher. Okay.
By one.
There's somebody on Facebook that said that my wife dressed me, and then Bobby said my mom.
Yeah, I was.
I was the person on Facebook who said your wife dressed.
I'm assuming you missed the first part of our show where we were discussing your athletic ability.
I did.
We were discussing whether the fact that you are a very good golfer makes you an athlete. Because I don't think you're very good at basketball. I think every time I play against you, I just shut you down.
Wow.
Well, I think that a way to look at this year's draft class is finding out how good these quarterbacks are at playing golf and letting that decide whether or not they should be your quarterback.
That's another measurement.
Why not?
Add it up.
At this point.
Johnny Manziel was a pretty good golfer, I think.
Tony Romo was, too, and he was a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Define great.
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 Zero playoff wins, or did he have one playoff win? I don't even know.
Into a corner
fumbled
again.
Field goal is what I remember.
Yeah. He's a better quarterback than Jay Skursky.
He's also a better golfer. He's played more PGA Tour events than I have.
Yeah, so it's true.
Jay, the idea of predicting what's going to happen. I know that you've done several mock drafts, and the Buffalo News will not pay you unless you do them, and that you have to write about the draft whether you like it or not. So. Why haven't you quit?
I don't dislike writing about the draft, and I certainly recognize and acknowledge that for not just Bills fans, but for a lot of NFL fans, this is their favorite weekend of the year. I mean, you know, we talk a bit about having draft fatigue, but I mean, there's a reason that they've gone to 3 days and they're going to sell out Cowboy AT&T Stadium and have 250,000 or some, you know, absurd number of people there. I mean, people are fascinated by the draft, and I think for Bills fans, the last 15 or 20 years, it's been, this is our hope. This is our hope of how our team is going to get better. And when you look at this draft in particular and, you know, the topic of quarterback, I think there's a level of interest this year that is unlike anything that I've ever seen before. And it's because, I mean, I would say it's more of an expectation than anything else that they're going to make a big move tomorrow night and get one of these quarterbacks.
How much do you think it's reliant upon having two first-round picks or the class? Because I think if this is 2013 and they have two first-round picks, we're probably not as geared up about it. That was the debate, was Geno Smith or Ryan Nassib. People weren't even talking about E.J. Manuel. E.J. Manuel almost came out of nowhere.
How do we live through that period of time?
Former Bills quarterback Ryan Nassib, right? Yeah, I think it's the class that is really driving this more than it is. And you wrote extensively about the comparisons to 1983.
Too extensively.
Yeah. Or is it, 1999, which was, you know, kind of a bad draft, really, when you think about, you know, I know, who was it, McNabb that went second, who panned out, but the rest of those picks, you know, I don't think that those teams would want to make them again, so...
You could argue Dante Culpepper at 11,
I think it was. Yeah, I guess there was some success there, so, is this class, if there are indeed five, how are they going to compare to that class? Are there going to be three washouts, one good quarterback, a Super Bowl quarterback, and then one who has an okay career? You know, for the Bills, you know, from the Bills' perspective, they have to hope that the odds are a lot better for these guys because I think they're invested in it. And, you know, your question was, is it because they have two first-round picks? I think it has very little to do with that. The only thing the two first-round picks does for me is it gives them that ammunition to move up to get one of those quarterbacks. So I think that's why it's important, but it's not like, oh, we're going to be able to add a really talented linebacker at number 22. That to me is secondary for a lot of people.
I would agree with that. And I think that really the 22 is, as you say, it's draft capital. And if that number 22 pick didn't exist, then the talking point would be, and it has been a little bit, but even more so, trading 2019's first-round pick anyway. So people would just flip and say, all right, well, next year's first-round pick or next year's second-round pick to move up to get the quarterback you want from 12.
Yeah.
And
I think that's the interesting thing when we obviously, because we're here in Buffalo, spend so much time talking about it from a Bills perspective, but, you know, we have to remember that there are – you know, X number of teams around the league that are probably looking at this quarterback class the exact same way. You know, the Patriots are one of them. The Cardinals are one of them. Even lesser teams like the Chargers, maybe even the Saints. There are a lot of teams that might want to get involved in this quarterback mix. So it's not like the Bills are competing against having to establish trade value with one team. They have to establish a trade value versus what a lot of other teams in the league might offer. And you start throwing around those first round picks in future years. If those are perceived to be better drafts, you could quickly see how the Bills could maybe get outbid in an effort to move up.
All right, we need to take a break, but I want the group to think about this for a second. Who would you rather be heading into tomorrow? The Cleveland Browns or the New York Giants? And I don't mean what your roster looks like. I just mean what you're going to do in the draft and how exciting it could be. Because if you're the Giants, you have the number 2 overall pick. You have people that want to move up to number 2 because they're desperate for a quarterback. And you may have the best player you're probably going to have. The best player in the draft available when you pick at number 2, and it's not a quarterback. We're going to talk about that and more when we come back on the Tim Graham Show, Sports Radio 1270 The Fan. Mike Rodak of ESPN.com. Lindsay Darkangelo is also here today for her every other week appearance on the show. And Jay Skursky joining us here in studio to talk about the NFL draft, which will mercifully occur, or at least begin, tomorrow night from Dallas, Texas, where our own Vic Carucci will be in attendance.
A lot of people down in Dallas. All the TV stations down in Dallas.
Well, it's smart to be down there because if the Bills do draft a quarterback, there's a good chance that their guy will be down there. You'll get some access to him. But if the Bills don't draft a quarterback,
if they draft Baker, he won't be there.
Baker Mayfield won't be there either.
If they don't draft a quarterback, then yeah.
You get to interview the guy who handed the pick, which is usually like an equipment manager or the video guy.
Won't be Woody anymore.
It used to be Sean Gibson. But
he's also going to
be him.
Athletic, I don't know who trainers. It'll be this year, but I think if
sounds
they
like a good blog item.
If they don't draft a quarterback, that number 12 pick might be the most hated draft pick in Bills history. Because it will be, even if it's Tremaine Edmonds, who's a top, you know, 10 talent in this draft, Bills fans won't like it.
There will be boos.
Like he will be behind the eight ball from the start, just because.
But you have to stop for a second, though, Mike, and understand that there are a lot of hated draft picks in Bills history.
It's true, but the expectations coming into this draft that they're going to go and get a quarterback, things are going to change. They draft a guard. Whoop-de-doo.
I don't think they're going to draft a guard 12th overall.
They're going to draft the best player available, Tim. That's what Brandon Bean said.
Well, that's what they always say.
I don't know that a guard is on anybody's board.
What if Quentin Nelson drops down? He's considered top player in this draft by some people. Top three player.
Well, Jay Skursky doesn't think so.
Isaiah Wynn is considered a top 10 talent by some people.
Jay Skursky doesn't think so.
No, I don't buy the second part of that. I think Nelson, yes, could be a top 10 pick. Personally, my philosophy would never be to spend that high of a pick on a guard.
Chance Warmack, 10th overall.
Yeah, Jonathan Cooper, right? 7th or 8th overall. just not a lot of value. And I don't think the Bills value that position. I mean, traditionally they haven't, but I don't see that continuing under Brandon Bean, that they would value a guard that highly.
There is a thought, though, in the modern NFL that the guard position is becoming more important because of interior pass rush is becoming more important, and that you want to protect the quarterback closer to the center where a pass rush could come in quicker.
Fascinating.
It's an emerging topic.
It's like they're saying that right tackle is equally as important as left tackle.
That's also
right?
Come up, yeah.
When the salaries start saying that, then I'll believe it.
True.
So the Cleveland Browns own picks 1 and 4 overall, and the New York Giants are at number 2. Now, the Browns, it's assumed that they're going to take a quarterback with that first pick. I don't think there's any guarantee of that. I mean, they could shock the world and do something different. And one of the ways you could shock the world is by taking the player who's perceived as the best at any position in this year's draft, and that's running back Saquon Barkley. And the Giants are sitting there with the ability to take him. There are scouts like and people who've declared. They use this phrase, future Hall of Famer, which is pretty ballsy, yeah. You know, when you're talking about a guy just out of college. But they're already throwing that label on Barkley. And if the Browns do take a quarterback 1 overall, that means the Giants are sitting there at 2. They could take a generational running back, although I hate that phrase. I got the phrase generational squeezed into
once
my
in a
brain
lifetime.
Stem.
The entire NFL has been around for one lifetime. You're telling me there's a player out there who has only existed once in the NFL? I hate that. I mean, you think generational talent. You think Russ Brandon and Doug Whaley using it with Sammy Watkins.
No, I actually think of Jack Eichel and Connor McDavid.
That's another one.
Generational.
But that's the word they use with Watkins.
So if you're Dave Gettleman, who is sitting there with the number 2 pick, and there are a lot of teams out there that need a quarterback, do you take this transformational running back? Or do you decide to patch up more needs on your team by accumulating a bunch more draft picks? Or the Giants, by the way, could use a quarterback. Eli Manning, he's a 2-time Super Bowl MVP and a fan favorite and the whole thing, and him getting benched last year cost Ben McAdoo his job. But he's 37. And if the Giants have a chance to take somebody that they believe to be a franchise quarterback to take the torch from Eli Manning, geez, what do you do? So my question being, just for tomorrow night, and I'm not talking about the roster or, you know, your projections for the division title or whether or not you're a Super Bowl contender, but in terms of who would you be more excited to be? Would you rather be the New York Giants heading into Thursday night or the Cleveland Browns?
I'll go first. The Browns with pick 1 and 4. I mean, you know, you've got every conceivable option open to you, obviously, with the first pick. And I want to touch on something you said there at the start when you made a reference to, you know, it's perceived that they're going to take a quarterback. And I think most of us do believe that, but
they could take Barkley.
It's not crazy to think that they wouldn't. I mean, all that would have to happen for them to take a quarterback is to be, we really like 3 of them. And if they like 3 quarterbacks, then they say, well, we'll take one of them at number 4, and we'll take Saquon Barkley at number 1 because we do think he's a Hall of Fame running back or a potential Hall of Fame running back. So I don't think it's going to happen. I didn't project it to happen for whatever that means, but I don't think it's the wildest of ideas either. I think it's crazier to say they would take a quarterback at 1 and a quarterback at 4. I think that idea is preposterous.
The reason I like the Giants situation is because there's less pressure on them. They could almost do anything and it will be right. It will be considered a good move, whereas the Browns could have 1 and 4 and find a way to blow it.
Right. I mean, if you're the Giants, you've got 3 options, right? You've got a quarterback, a non-quarterback, or a trade down. And, you know, if it's the non-quarterback, you know, most people have assumed that means Bradley Chubb or Saquon Barkley. And I think where a lot of that Hall of Fame talk came from was Dave Gettleman saying that that's what you should get or that's what you should be after at number 2. Well, what does that mean? You know, who's got the most quote-unquote Hall of Fame potential? Most people would say it's Saquon Barkley.
I would rather be the Giants. And part of what you said, with, you know, there's a lot of pressure with that number 1 pick. And with the Giants, they're sitting pretty. Lots of teams are going to be throwing deals at them, and they can just kind of sit back and be like, give me your best offer. And then, you know, go from there.
The Giants might not even know what they're doing until they're on the clock tomorrow.
Then
you start getting some phone calls, yes. And they might be too much to pass up.
Well, I think it's a real possibility that if the Giants have Sam Darnold as their number one quarterback, or possibly even number one player, and he doesn't go number one, I think then that brings quarterback into the equation for them. And that, for the Bills, I think is the worst-case scenario, is that a quarterback goes one, and then a quarterback, you know, goes two to the Giants. That would be a lot of trouble.
Well, your thoughts on that, Mike? That kind of goes against what you were saying.
It does, actually. I mean, the fact that I have no idea what you're talking about really goes against what I was saying.
Jeez. I thought he was going to pull it out.
I don't lie.
I was rooting for you.
Because you know what? I would rather be gullible, Tim, than to be dishonest. That's why.
We caught Mike Rodak again not paying attention to what anybody was talking about. He was telling jokes on his phone.
The Bills.
He was enlarging photos of friends of his, putting little memes together and sending them back.
The Bills
and had
just,
no idea what we were discussing.
The Bills just put out a video from their draft room, like inside the draft room. Of course, they're not stupid enough to, you know, show actual names on their wall. But they did show a fake name, sort of Chris Finelli, defensive tackle, University of Pittsburgh, at 6'4", 260 pounds, one of their PR guys. So I thought that was amusing.
And that's, well, here's hilarious.
I have no idea what Jay Skursky said.
That's mildly amusing, Mike, to people who know Chris Finelli.
I think people who will catch it on the video will laugh. And
they won't know who that is.
If they don't, then they're missing out. That's my personal opinion on that.
And if you don't know, now you know.
At least it's not the lyric I screwed up last week. What song was that?
Something like it was.
Jonah just looks disgusted by everything that's going on over there. Can't even handle it.
It was something about brilliantly dressed or something like that.
Brilliantly dressed at the starting line.
And he thought he was pulling out the great lyric.
Immaculately dressed.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do with
right. I
reluctantly crouched at the
start.
So starting.
About the Giants and the Browns.
Would you rather be the Giants or the Browns, Mike?
I'm firmly in the Browns camp on that one. I was, you know, contemplating my answer as you were giving yours and not paying attention the rest of the time. But I don't see where the Giants would be better. I mean, you could say that the Browns are in a worse spot with their roster. I don't think the Giants are much better. I mean, the Giants don't have their choice of quarterback. The Browns do. The Giants have a 37-year-old quarterback who's on his last legs. The rest of their roster is not very good. They had turmoil in terms of, you know, Odell last year and Eli Apple. And
I thought it wasn't a roster question.
But just the draft. Like, just overall situation heading into draft. I mean, you can't say that the Giants with just the number two pick are in a better spot than the Browns with 1-4. So you have to open it up to the entire situation of the team, in which case I would still go with Cleveland.
I think that the Giants are going to have more offers to trade out of two than the Browns will to have to trade out of one.
Well, what about four?
Well, they're not going to get as much for four as they will from two. So, yeah, I know. It's a matter of just hashing out the different values. But I think that the Giants are in the most enviable position because, as I mentioned from the beginning, no matter what they do, they can be right. Even if the Browns can do whatever they want, and the Giants just are going to have something to fall in their lap.
I don't know if there's going to be a ton of offers for the Giants. I was talking to Jordan Rainin, our Giants guy, last night, and he doesn't think the Giants want to move down that far. So if you're the Bills at 12, you need to do better than 12 because they're not going to move down much further. The Browns aren't moving down from 4 to 2. The Jets aren't moving from 3 to 2, most likely. The Broncos aren't moving down. They're moving down. The Colts aren't going to move up. So if the Giants are trying to stay within the top 10, then which team's offering them? The Raiders? The 49ers? The Bucks? No.
The Patriots?
The Patriots. But the Patriots would have to give up a lot to get to number two, like a first-round pick next year, both of their first this year.
And wouldn't that make it exciting
both
if you were Dave Gettleman?
Right, but that's far from realistic. So I don't think there's very many realistic offers for the Giants at number two. I think the Bills might be their best bet, but it doesn't sound like the Bills are going to swing a trade for number two. If you saw Ian Rappaport's report yesterday, he says that's not what's going to happen. He says the Bills are looking at five or six, so believe what you want, but I just don't think the Giants are in an enviable position where there's going to be a bunch of teams trying to trade into number two. There's not. Teams don't have the ammunition to do it, and the Giants don't want to move down that far.
Mike made my point. I don't think the Giants
What's your
have
point?
This pick.
That's my point.
That's my point.
Exactly.
I don't think they have this pick that's really going to be auctioned around the league, unless my hunch is Sam Darnold is the number one quarterback on most teams' boards. If Cleveland does not take Sam Darnold, then there might be teams that say, ooh, we need to get up to this guy that we couldn't get before. If it's not, as we talked a lot in the first hour, there's really no consensus on who these quarterbacks are. And unless you need to get in front of the Jets at three, there's really not that much value in getting the Giants pick.
And the team that needs to get in front of the Jets is the Bills. Nobody else.
Well, and I think that, but that goes back to what I was saying before you were rudely not paying attention. The Giants at
I'm coughing
two,
right into the mic.
If
intentionally,
if they're interested in Sam Darnold, that's bad news for the Bills, because number one, that means that, you know, Cleveland, we assume, took a different quarterback, probably Josh Allen. If Sam Darnold goes two, Baker Mayfield goes three, and then, that only leaves Josh Rosen. And, you know, if you're the Bills, I think your price tag goes way up if you even like Josh Rosen.
And the Browns
and there's a possibility that they don't.
The Browns sit there at four, and if they had already taken, you're saying Allen at number one?
Yeah.
Then Barkley's still on the board at four. So they're saying, we're taking Barkley, or you're giving us your first-round pick next year and both of your first this year.
Right, exactly.
And then you're the Bills, and you're like, three first-round picks for Josh Rosen?
Right.
Do we do it or not?
Exactly. That's why. Yeah.
Not if you can get Mason Rudolph.
But then the point is, I guess you go to number five. Let's say the Browns take Barkley, you go to five, and then you have the Broncos, where maybe they're wanting to trade down. Maybe you can still get Rosen there. But then that starts to get into the territory of where I think the Patriots come into play, where the Patriots picks can get them into the second half of the top 10. And as, again, Rappaport said tonight, look out for the Patriots trying to trade up into the top 10 for a quarterback.
Or the Broncos themselves want a quarterback and say,
and they don't trade down.
We like Josh Rosen, we're staying put, we're taking him.
Yeah.
So there's a scenario where
if
four of them could go in the top 10.
If Rosen falls to five, the Broncos could say, hey, we love him.
Right.
Who knows? And then if you're the Bills, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're taking Tremaine Edmonds at 12, and good luck with your fans with that one.
Yeah.
One more segment of this mess.
Thank God.
And
thank
then
God.
We're off the air, and we don't have to worry about it until tomorrow night.
My blood pressure is going through the roof.
Your face was turning a little red there.
I just try to defend myself around
here.
He
was hammering the table a little bit.
Yeah. I was.
That was a real point he was trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point.
One of the best ways to, I think, get into an argument, or at least to defend yourself argument's sake,
to appear flustered.
No, is to pay attention to what other people are saying.
Well, again, there's more pressing matters going on. I'm a millennial, you know, my phone and all that, as Lindsay was saying.
When did I say that?
Before the show, right?
I don't remember.
You're talking. Oh, you're talking about your daughter.
Oh, yes.
Millennials
my
are always on your phone.
No, she said teenagers.
Teenagers.
For the sake of underscoring that we still have no idea what's going on, we're going to give our best prediction for what the Bills do tomorrow night.
Oh, my goodness.
And I would venture to guess that maybe one of the six people in this room will come close when we come back. One last segment on the Tim Graham Show, Sports Radio 1270 The Fan. Welcome back to the Tim Graham Show, Sports Radio 1270 The Fan. We have we have plenty of time, actually. Sometimes we have a tight last segment here, but I think we can actually move around the room and,
yeah,
and give. We're going to come up with a prediction, and I'm doing this ironically. It's not ironic. I'm doing it for. It's not sarcastically. Right? Because the concept of irony is it's like being literal.
Yes.
Or that's like
the
when people say
of what's supposed to happen.
Right.
When people say literally, or you know, it's not literally.
Satirically.
I literally died today on my way to work.
Yeah, you don't even yeah.
Do you know
understand?
By the way, Merriam-Webster has changed the definition of literally. It now can mean figuratively. They had
wow.
a they came out
yeah,
with a
because
thing
people
wow.
use literally.
Yeah, because a dictionary
ironically.
Is supposed to be a reflection of usage, not a reflection of what it's supposed to be. So
yeah.
If so many people over the past 10 years just started dropping the word literally to mean everything but that, the dictionary actually had to change the definition.
Well, on that subject, this will change now. We talked about generational talents early in the last segment. That's a junk phrase. That doesn't mean a once-in-a-generation player. That
yeah.
means someone who typifies their generation, maybe in the way Josh Rosen has been described as the millennial quarterback. So all these guys that are a generational player, there's probably 50 generational players in a draft.
Neat.
All right.
Fun with words.
Yeah, words are words can be fun.
I don't think
fun.
People use it that way. Like if
they, no, don't, they don't. But he's saying that they, he's saying they use it incorrectly. The definition of that word is what he just said. And
okay,
that people
I
use
understand.
It okay. Meaning oh a once in a lifetime player, but that's not what it means.
Right.
So
it's
I'm
like,
not.
It's like when people use the word unique.
Right.
People always misuse that word.
Right. People and the reason the word ironic is what started me down this path is people use I don't use the word ironic in stories because it's always misused, and it's pretty easy to twist yourself up as to whether or not something truly is ironic. For instance, where Alanis Morissette repeatedly says, isn't it ironic? And all those, none of those things are ironic.
They were
all just
they
like
coincidences.
Yeah, they're coincidences yes. Or bad luck.
People use irony. People mistake irony for coincidence.
Yeah, that's a George Carlin
premise.
And
you see people doing it, like intelligent people on TV, like right. News mm-hmm. reporters, using it wrong.
So I don't know if I'm asking this question ironically. I want a prediction for what's going to happen tomorrow night.
What Rodak said, though, is right. It's technically satire. It's an exaggeration of what, you know what I mean?
But I don't want a satirical answer. I don't want you to, I want an actual,
right.
What you're feeling, your actual answer, but the purpose for getting the answer is to show how absurd it
there
is.
There we go, right. Hyperbole.
I want a genuine response, a actual prediction, and I'm going to see who comes closest. So Jay,
what's the question?
What are the Bills going to do Thursday night?
At 12, right?
With anything. With anything. No, because it can't. No, it's intentionally broad because there are. If you're going to make a prediction and we're going to see who comes closest, everything has to be on the table.
Okay.
It shouldn't be like a mock draft where you are locked in with the 12th pick because there's a pretty good chance, or there's at least a chance that they don't pick 12th.
Go ahead, Lindsay. First,
go ahead.
Because everybody's silent, so I'll go first.
I'm going last.
I think they're going to try to make a trade. I don't think it's going to happen, though, because I think it's going to be too rich.
I need specifics. So you think 12. They're going to pick 12th.
Yes.
And they're going to take
12th. So just looking at the draft order and the list, I think they're either going to end up with – they could end up with Lamar Jackson. And – I'm going to say, I don't think they would pick Mason Rudolph at 12, though, if he was there. I think they would hold it and wait till 22 for him.
So what are they going to do?
Well, can I do that scenario? If Lamar Jackson is there, I say they take him.
Lamar Jackson at 12.
And if he's not, I say they don't pick a QB at 12.
Okay. Wow. Lamar Jackson, or if Lamar Jackson's off the board, no quarterback.
If those other guys aren't available, like there's no Josh Allen, there's no Sam Darnold, there's no Josh Rosen.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, I don't mind that at all. That's a pretty specific opinion.
You said specific.
Yep. Jay Skursky?
Well, I said today in the paper in my final mock draft, which we know is highly scientific, that my projection for them was to trade up into the bottom half of the top 10. I had them trading up with Chicago and then drafting Josh Rosen. I have been on the Josh Rosen train here for a while, thinking that he would be the best fit for them, and I'm going to stick with that. I don't necessarily know for sure that the trade would be with Chicago, but I expect bottom half of the top 10. So those teams between 6 and 9, the Colts, the Buccaneers, the Bears, the 49ers, I think any of those teams are prime trade candidates for the Bills. In terms of their willingness to move down, their lack of a need for a quarterback, and I think the possibility that a guy like Rosen gets out of the top 10. So that's my prediction. A slight move up, one that doesn't cost them, the crazy amount that it would cost to move up to number 2, but they move up and draft Josh Rosen.
Buffalo News is Jay Skursky. Let me read this back to you to make sure that I have it correctly. You say they're going to trade up into the top 10. You're going to say Chicago, but it could be somebody else.
Yes.
But the crux of your prediction is for Josh Rosen.
Yes.
All right. So with Chicago being
I think they're a very good possibility.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I was going
Mike
to Rodak, say
ESPN.com.
something very similar. I was going to go number 6 for Rosen with the Colts, and approximately the price I think will be a first, a second, and a third, which would be their 12. They're 53, and they're 91st, is it? The third
96.
But if they could hold on to 65 to do that, I think you'd have to flip it to 65. But that's
points-wise, yeah. I mean, it's close.
Yeah.
you might end up paying a premium, but I think they would justify it that Rosen's a potential franchise guy if he fell to six, and also that they would still have a quote-unquote normal draft. In fact, they would have 22 as right. well, and then plus a second and a third.
Where you're looking at getting a defensive starter at 22.
Right.
A lot of
and
options.
Offensive lineman or wide receiver or second, third round, something like that. So I think that's a pretty good scenario for them, but it does require Rosen falling past five.
Jay, do you want to give any draft assets given up since you have a trade and Mike went that far? Do you want to take a stab at let's see if you can just nail this bastard.
I think it's tough because you'd have to kind of narrow it down to the team. So I'll stick with Chicago. I'll say that at eight. Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a difference. You know, I think, like Mike said, to go to six, it might cost you 12 and 22, but that's it. Or it might, you know, maybe the Colts value having a second and a third rounder and sort of volume instead of that 22 pick, because we've talked a little bit about, you know, this draft is not perceived to have maybe 22 first-round caliber players. So maybe they see the strength of the draft being the second and the third round, and they want those picks. So my prediction, I'll say they go to Chicago, they give up a second, and they give up that later third, which is 96, since they're only going up four spots.
All right. Jonah, do you want to give one? No? Bobby, do you have a prediction?
Well, I pretty much had the same prediction as Jay and Mike, but I also think that if Cleveland takes Josh Allen number one, I think the Bills can make the big move to Darnold at number two. And I think my general prediction is the Bills, I think they know what they're doing, whether it's plan A, plan B, or plan C. Depending on how the draft unfolds, they're going to make a move and get a guy they like. They have these extra picks, and I don't think they're going to be sitting there at 12 with their pockets empty saying, oh, I don't know what to do.
Well, make that prediction, because that's more fun. I mean, that, you know, that is the move that gets people
that
talking.
That would be my prediction, except I kind of think Cleveland's going to take Sam Darnold number one. Other than that, I would say I think five's in play. I think they could go to five to get Josh Rosen, who I think that would be a great pick. If it were me, from my limited understanding, I would pick him number one.
And I question whether they would need to go all the way to five to do that. Because if Denver isn't taking him, I guess that just becomes a question for Brandon Bean, and he has to answer, is Denver going to take him? Because you know the teams that are coming up after aren't. You know, Indy is not. Tampa Bay is not. Chicago is not. None of those teams are drafting quarterbacks. Not a prayer in the world of it happening.
But you risk another team moving up.
Right.
That's
where the poker comes
who
in.
Who wants to move down? Because this isn't just going to the bank and exchanging your currency. I have these picks. Give me that pick. Mm-hmm. You have to find a team that wants to come down, that is okay at 12. I think that's the biggest problem the Bills face, is that the Giants or whomever might not want to go that far down.
Right. But I think in the second half of the top 10, it's the Bills and the Patriots in a stare down of, if there's a guy falling, which pick are they trading up into, and what are they giving up?
Bills can't be outbid by the Patriots.
And that's where the Bills have the advantage, in the sense that 12 is much more attractive than 23 and 31.
What if the Patriots are willing to give up their first next year and the Bills aren't? Again, hypothetical.
Patriots first next year, you're banking on that being in the very bottom of the 20s,
right,
if not 30, 31.
Which is why they might be more willing to part with it than the Bills would be. But point being, I think those are the two teams. I mean, maybe Arizona and Miami. Maybe Miami. Probably more Arizona trying to trade up into the top 10 for a quarterback. But it could be a direct stare down between two division rivals, which is intriguing to me.
Bobby, do you want to give a prediction?
Jonah kind of took it, but I think, since nobody said it yet, I think they're going to go number five. They're going to move up and take Allen. That's my prediction.
For Josh Allen.
Yeah, just because of the buzz around him and some of the stuff we were talking about with Lindsay off air and stuff.
So you think he gets through Cleveland, obviously the Giants.
Yeah, I think Cleveland's going to overthink it. And then, like you said, I mean, obviously Darnold is going to go high. I don't know. I just feel like Allen seems like, and I like Allen, actually. He's my favorite, but he just seems like a Buffalo kind of pick to me.
What about, a lot of people I think are assuming Baker to the Jets. I don't, from talking to Rich Cimini, our Jets guy last week or the last couple of days, it's really between Rosen and Baker. So what if the Jets take Rosen three, and let's say Baker's the guy who slips into five or six?
Bobby triggered this to you. This is what I've been saying. I'm getting ready to tee it up. I think that after four picks, only two quarterbacks are going to be gone, and neither of them are going to be Baker Mayfield. So I think that the Bills are going to trade up to five and take Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
What they give up for it, I think they're obviously going to have to give up 12. And, you know, the Broncos have a lot of needs also, particularly on offense. Their defense is pretty good last year. They need a quarterback, yes. But one of the things that I thought was interesting from John Elway's news conference last week is he even said that within his own draft room, everybody has the quarterback stacked in a different way. And yes, you can talk about whether or not this is a smokescreen or is this guy really going to say, but he just came off to me as somebody who's just not really impressed with this year's draft class. Now, the other thing that he did say is that next year's pool is even less. So, the Denver Broncos, I think, could stay there. But this is just my prediction. I think that the Bills are going to do something to move them off of it, go up there and get Baker Mayfield.
What about all the speculation?
What's the cost to go to 5?
Well, it would have to be, let me see, 5 would be 12. 12, 22, and 96, but you could do just 12 and 22.
12 and 22 gets you there on the value charts.
Right.
And
but if they, what I'm saying is,
I think
if they
probably have to throw in more. Right?
Yes. If you get so, if only two quarterbacks are gone and the guy that you want is there, and I don't know that Baker Mayfield is their guy, but I'm just saying it for the sake of making this prediction because nobody knows, that if he's there and that's their guy, they will throw in the 96, that they'll throw in that extra. So 12 and 22, what I'm saying is 12 and 22, yes. But Denver's not just going to say, yeah, sure, we'll just take that. There's where the poker comes in.
Yeah.
And a team in Denver's position is going to try to squeeze every little bit it can.
What about the scenario where if this is a truly transformational, generational draft class at quarterback?
I don't think it is.
But let's say that these guys truly believe it is. And the Browns take a quarterback, the Giants take a quarterback, the Jets take a quarterback, the Browns take Barkley, and the Broncos take a quarterback and say no to every offer that comes in.
That was my scenario.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. Why I said no trade.
Yeah.
Right.
That's Lindsay's point. See?
I mean, we went around the
That's my point.
Lindsay said Lamar. I said Josh Rosen. Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and Baker Mayfield.
All the quarterbacks.
That's
what makes tomorrow really fun.
Five of the quarterbacks were predicted.
Yeah.
And they're trading up four times. In four of the cases, they're trading up.
What do you guys think about all that speculation that's come out in the past week about the Browns taking Baker Mayfield at number one?
Anything that's come out in the last week is a smokescreen.
You think?
I kind of agree.
Which
with
I would
that.
Include any talk about the Bills going for Josh Allen.
You know, Mary Kay Cabot today from the Cleveland Plain Dealer said that it's down to Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield. She's a very good reporter. Mm-hmm. I would trust when she says something like that. So, I buy it if it's coming from her.
The other thing too, when it comes to the number one overall pick, you can pick that guy now. You don't. There's no reason for the Bills to necessarily lie about who they're going to take first overall.
You can start negotiating with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what, when I covered the Miami Dolphins, that's what they did with Jake Long. They had the number one overall pick. They went ahead and had a news conference the day before the draft and said, and they introduced Jake Long as the Miami Dolphins.
It hasn't happened in a while, though.
No, it hasn't. I think it's happened one time since then. The NFL frowns upon it because they like the drama of draft night. But there's really nothing. So you could say smokescreen for Mary Kay Cabot at the Plain Dealer, but the Browns have no, unless they know the Giants want somebody specific. I mean, if they know who they're going to take,
why do that? And she doesn't strike me as the type of writer anyway who would throw out a smokescreen if she didn't. I think she reports on what she believes,
agree with that.
I agree with that. I think that she put that out there because she thinks it's true.
And that she probably has a source who isn't going to be burned by saying who that is because they get the pick.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to fool any. They don't need to give a head fake for the first overall pick if you're going to keep it. So, all right. Any other fearless predictions for Thursday night or the entire draft?
The Bills will draft a corner higher than you think. And I know a lot of people rep me for drafting Jair Alexander last night.
What'd you think of that, Jay?
Jay didn't like it.
No, I didn't disagree. I think that a corner is a definite need for this roster. I mean, Vontae Davis on a one-year deal, I don't think it's the biggest need. I think you can make a stronger case for a middle linebacker or a wide receiver.
Right.
But there's no question that a cornerback in the first 2 days of the draft, I think they're coming away with a cornerback.
I would agree that there's a more glaring need at middle linebacker, wide receiver, offensive line even. But I think the talent at cornerback in the first draft, you could have four that come off. Denzel Ward, Alexander, Hughes from UCF, and Josh Jackson from Iowa. I mean, that's pretty hard to pass up. I mean, there's basically one, two receivers in the first round, Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore. Moore has kind of snuck into the first round the last couple weeks, and, you know, you got to be a little bit of a tweener, but between the first and the second. But I think there's four legit first-round cornerbacks, and I think the Bills have an opportunity to take one.
I'm not saying this in terms of this year's pool of middle linebackers and how it stacks and how it sorts out and who needs one and where it's all going to fall, but I will say that historically you take a look at the middle linebacker position in the NFL, and really good ones come out of the second, third. You get starters in the middle rounds.
Kiko Alonso.
Sure, London Fletcher, Paul Posluszny, Hall of Famers, Zach Thomas, I think, was a fifth or sixth round pick. I mean, there are guys that it's a grunt position where you find guys who don't necessarily score great at the combine, who aren't prototypical athletes, but are very good at playing that position.
Preston Brown.
That kind of defines Preston Brown, right?
So I think that you can wait until 53, 56 and find your middle linebacker.
I don't think offensive line is as big of a need as a lot of people are making it out to be. I've seen a lot of those mock drafts where they're staying, if they have 22 and it's not traded away, and drafting an offensive lineman, and I would be surprised by that. I think that, you know, I know on paper the line doesn't look great, but I think they have guys, they have options there at least. Ryan Groy is an option. John Miller is an option. They signed a center from Cincinnati. So I would rate offensive line a little bit lower on their list of needs than I think other people are.
All right, good show. The only draft show that we did here on Sports Radio 1270 The Fan, and the only one we'll ever do. Once a year. The day before the draft, we'll talk about it. Beyond that, wanking motion. Thanks for my crooked co-host, Mike Rodak of ESPN.com, for Jay Skursky of the Buffalo News, Jerry Sullivan of the Buffalo News, who was here in the first hour,
senior,
Lindsay D'Arcangelo,
columnist Jerry Sullivan,
for coming in, Bobby Rosati for diddling those knobs, and Jonah Bronstein for rolling the film. Could have had a good conversation. If it weren't draft day, we could have gotten into Jonah's neck. A little something going on there. Was a.
We're all looking at him now, though.
Vacuum cleaner attachment, was it, Jonah? Burned yourself with your curling iron? All right, next week we'll be talking about actual players who got drafted on the Tim Graham Show, Sports Radio 1270 The Fan.